Dr. J.D. Crouch is on the phone with us right now, Deputy National Security Advisor. Doctor, great to have you back on the program.
Good to be here.
Listen, we want to talk to you about some of the pre-Iraq war intelligence estimates and the current controversy that seems to be, well, you know, I see this as pretty being pretty political, but, you know, you've got the Washington Post today suggesting that somehow the president had better intelligence than the Congress did because of his daily briefing. And yet it sounds to me like Congress had all the facts when they voted in favor of giving the president to act with force, if necessary, to disarm Saddam Hussein.
Well, you know, I saw that Washington Post story. I think it's one of the things the president is trying to do is get the country to look forward and to see that both the challenges that we face in Iraq and the opportunities we have there for reshaping the region and decreasing the threat to the American people. And I think you're quite right. I mean, the National Intelligence Estimate, which was the key document on which the president's judgments were made, it was made available to members of Congress. It was briefed extensively on Capitol Hill prior to the authorization of the use of force. You know, the intelligence committees up there and other relevant committees had access to all kinds of documentation and analysis. You know, the notion that the president had pieces of information that would have substantially changed people's judgments on these things, I think are wrong. Indeed, you know, the Rob Silberman Commission did a study on this and looked at the question of was the intelligence politicized in any way, came to the conclusion that it wasn't. And in fact, they argued that the presidential brief that was the focus of our intelligence reform was more problematic than the National Intelligence Estimate that's given to Congress.
And why was it more problematic? This is the briefing the president gets every day where, and it was Secretary Rice before she became Secretary of State, who would sit down with the president and say, here's what's going on in the world today and what you need to know about it.
Well, everybody is admitting, and I mean, the president has admitted, obviously the Congress working with us have put together legislation to help address the fact that there was an intelligence failure here. But at the same time, it's important to understand that, you know, our intelligence people were working off the best information that they had. The commission concluded that in fact the presidential brief was even more misleading. So the idea somehow that the president had information that would have contradicted the judgments that were put out in the NIE, I think is not really substantiated by the facts.
I understand, Dr. Crouch, that it's not your job to get into the politics of this, but it sounds to me like there are an awful lot of people on Capitol Hill, you know, senators and representatives, who voted in favor of giving the president the authority to proceed against Saddam Hussein, who now would like to be able to explain to all their friends as they run for re-election why they voted for that only because they were lied to or somehow misled into voting for it because they don't want to take responsibility for the votes they cast.
Well, Lars, I don't want to characterize people's motivations here. I think the president's real interest is in trying to get the country looking forward on this, and to the degree that people are looking backward, I think it can be, you know, take our eye off the important challenges, which are, you know, execute our strategy, which is defeating the terrorists in Iraq, breaking the insurgency, and trying to build up the Iraqi security forces to the point where they're self-reliant and helping Iraq build a democracy. And you look at the progress that's been made on that in the last year with an election in January, the creation of a vote on a constitution, and now an election in December that will put a permanent government in place. There's really a lot, I think, to be hopeful for here, and that's really where we want to put the focus over the next 6 months.
Well, Doctor, let's talk about that. Can you give people an idea in practical terms? I mean, here I am standing here in Portland, Oregon. I'm in a state that's got a state police. We've got a National Guard. We've got a country that has a really wonderful military that does a fantastic job. Where does Iraq stand today, and how does that, I mean, how should that progress, give us optimism about the future?
Well, I think, you know, you've on the security side, and that's what people focus on. And unfortunately, you know, what people see day to day are the car bombs going off and things like that. But you've now got Iraqi security forces increasingly either some operating on their own, limited numbers, but increasingly operating with coalition forces in the lead, doing operations in Iraq, in the western Euphrates Valley, in the north, and elsewhere, in and around Baghdad.
Mm-hmm.
The Iraqi army has come a long way over the last year, and we're now to the point where Iraqi security forces total are up over 200,000, and the real focus for the next few months is going to be on improving the quality, improving their ability to operate on their own. At the same time, you've got U.S. forces still putting and coalition forces still putting a lot of pressure on the terrorists there. And I think you can see that when you see some of those operations being reported in the media. And finally, as I've mentioned, I think that we've got a real opportunity not only to defeat the terrorists, but to bring those people who have been on the fence or supporting the insurgency into the political process with these elections. Look what happened in the Constitution. Large numbers of Sunnis who did not vote in January voted for this Constitution, and they are now out campaigning today. I think it's progress when people are campaigning and not focusing on the gun as their approach.
Doctor, I think you're right. It's also progress when you see weddings blown up in Jordan and then ordinary citizens coming out and condemning the leaders of Al-Qaeda in a country like Jordan that hasn't been exactly our best friend every single day of the week.
That's right. And you also saw similar protests in Morocco having to do with the diplomats and the diplomats who were taken hostage there. And you know, I think that one of the things that has to happen and is beginning to happen is the Islamic world is as we have been saying is going to unite against this extremism. President's made very clear that this is a war in which the civilized world, both Islamic and the United States and the West and others in the coalition,
Doctor,
are really
I've got a break.
Working against the extremists.
You got the Lars Larson Show.